Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, tonight we're going to continue our studies in the Master's class in the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is going to, he's given us this instruction. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, this can certainly be our prayer. We have a Father in heaven who loves us. And your name is so holy. We reverence you tonight. We want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be done on earth because it's already being done in heaven. So we ask that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, that we might understand what your word says to us, that we can dig in and understand what it is you have for us tonight. So we pray that we would make much of your son Jesus here, that as we even walk out the doors here tonight, that people can see that we have been with Jesus. So bless your word, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of tonight's message isn't anything flashy or anything, you know, creative. It's just simply, Your Will Be Done. So far in our studies, in the Lord's Prayer, we've learned that our Father in heaven has a name that is holy. He has a kingdom that is established and is being established. And today, we're going to see that God has a will that must be obeyed. The phrase, Our Father in heaven, governs every relationship of our lives in every detail. Holy is your name, weighs our every thought, every word, every deed. Your kingdom come sets up in our lives the pull of the Holy Spirit. And in our text, your will be done, the joy of submitting. Down to the very last detail of our experience to the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We've already learned that the Lord's Prayer is listed in two groups. The first group is in regards to God and His glory. Holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And the second set, we'll start next week, is in regards to us. Our daily bread, our trespasses, our temptations. Tonight I'd like to look at two passages of Scripture, Matthew 26 and Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at those two texts tonight because we've already been looking at Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. But when we pray, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are praying that our will not be contrary to the Father's will. We are praying that the world would move in harmony with the purpose and will of God because it's not happening right now. We know that God's will and the world's will are on two different planes altogether. We know that there is a secular worldview, secular humanism, that's really against God and His principles and His world. We, as Bible-believing Christians, have a biblical worldview. We view the eyes of the world through the lens of the Scriptures. But there was a time in our history that heaven and earth existed in perfect harmony, and God saw it and said, it is good. There was only one will working in the entire universe. And when we have the fall from heaven of the beautiful worship leader, the angel Lucifer, we also had the fall after that of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and this introduced other wills. And this is why Jesus is explaining to us how to pray for God's will on earth, because it's already happening in heaven. If we could pull back the veil and see a glimpse of heaven for a moment, we would see that God's will is always done there. We already see the created universe. We see the sun, the moon, the stars. And that is obviously a great thing, but they're all moving in complete harmony. But if we were to, again, peel back that veil and look for a moment, we would see a throne. And around that throne, redeemed saints, our loved ones who've gone before us, free from corruption, free from sin, worshiping their Savior Jesus, we would see also a host of angels serving and worshiping around the throne where Jesus is seated. In heaven, everything is perfect. It is perfected holiness. But since the disobedience of Adam and Eve, there has been a gap between heaven and earth. But thankfully, God bridged that gap by sending to us three gifts which we are to receive. He sent us the Bible, His God-breathed, inspired word. He sent us His beloved Son, Jesus. And He sent us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and guide us. I see that the notes are on the screen there. Great job, Boris. I just sent them to him while we're doing worship. I sent him my notes and I say, would you please put these up? And he does that. He's a miracle worker. God bless you, Boris. Thank you. But the Holy Spirit revealed, you can clap for that, sure. They deserve that. Sound people, video people, they don't get nearly enough credit. These are all the people who are part of that group. Thank you for serving. The Holy Spirit revealed the Son of God to us through the Word of God in the Bible. Jesus here says that the immediate purpose of prayer is to accomplish God's will on earth. And the ultimate purpose of prayer is the eternal glory of God. Why do we pray, though, God's will be done? Isn't God's will already being done? How can God's will ever be thwarted? He's God. Well, you see, there is the sovereign will of God, also known as the secret will or the hidden will, the eternal will of God. And there is the preceptive will of God or the revealed will of God. His sovereign will is what has taken place, what is taking place, and what will take place in the future. You see, God sovereignly ordains everything that comes to pass. Sovereignly means that He's in control of all things. In other words, there's nothing that happens in this world that is outside of God's sovereign will. This aspect of God's will is seen by the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, where we learn that God is the one who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And Job says in 42:2, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So this view of God's will is based on the fact that because God is sovereign, that He's in control of everything, His will can never be frustrated. Nothing happens that is beyond His control. That's good news for us. There's also God's preceptive will or His revealed will, that God reveals Himself in His word. The preceptive will of God is God's declared will concerning what we should or shouldn't do. For example, because of the revealed will of God, we can know that it is God's will that we do not steal. You can know for certain that you don't have to pray, you know what? We're a little bit low on funds this month. I'm going to pray and ask God if it's okay if I go rob a bank. You don't have to pray that. You know, we already know what God's revealed will is for us. His revealed will is that we repent of our sins, that we be holy as He is holy. So the question we ask ourselves tonight is, how can we be sure that we are praying according to the will of God? How can we be sure we are praying according to the will of God? Well, as believers, our highest aim should be for the glory of God. The Shorter Westminster Catechism says that the chief end of man is to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. We were placed on this earth for that reason. And that includes praying according to His will. I'd like to give you several biblical instructions that will guide us in praying according to God's will. First, pray for the things for which the Bible commands prayer. Such as, we're told to pray for our enemies. We're told to pray that God send missionaries, that we do not enter temptation, that for the ministers of the Word of God, those who preach the gospel, for government authorities, for relief from affliction, for the healing of fellow believers. We can pray that confidently, knowing that that is the will of God because it's written in His Word. Where God commands prayer, we can pray with that confidence, knowing that. Secondly, follow the example of godly people from the Scriptures. We look at the Apostle Paul, who prayed for all of Israel to be saved. We were looking at the life of David in last session, and we saw David prayed for mercy and forgiveness when he sinned. The early church, they prayed for boldness to witness. These prayers were according to the will of God, and we can pray that same way here today. And as with Paul in the early church, we should always be praying for the salvation of others. For ourselves, we should pray as David prayed, always aware of our sin, bringing it before God, and because we know that if, as we do that, we don't want our relationship hindered by that. The Bible says, if I have iniquity or sin in my heart, God doesn't even hear my prayers. Another way is pray with the right motivation. Selfish motivations will not be blessed by God. When you ask, James says, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend with what you get on your pleasures. What we learned in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew was that we should pray not so our lofty words can be heard and that we can be looking like spiritual people to other people, but mostly in private or in secret in our prayer closet, so that our Heavenly Father will hear us in secret, but He will reward us openly. Another way is pray, this is going to be a hard one, pray with a spirit of forgiveness towards others. A spirit of bitterness, anger, revenge, hatred towards others will prevent our hearts from praying in total submission to God. And just as we are told not to give offerings to God while there is conflict between ourselves and another Christian, in the same way, God doesn't want us to offer our prayers until we've reconciled with our brothers and sisters in Christ. If I have aught with my brother and sister in Christ, the Word of God tells me that I'm to leave my sacrifice at the altar and go be reconciled with them. In other words, don't even come into church. Go reconcile with them first and then come back, and then we start begin to worship. Four people just left just now. Another thing is pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. You know, we can always find something to be thankful for. Even through the very difficult times of life, there's always something to be thankful for. Many of you follow Pastor Greg on Instagram and on Facebook. Last week, he went and visited a little boy named Braden. How many of you saw that, his post? A lot of you did. Little Braden comes to our school in Riverside, Harvest Christian School, and his parents have been going to our church for many, many years. And Pastor Greg went and visited him. I've been in contact with the parents quite often. In fact, his dad texts me every night giving me updates in this. But can I tell you this? Even though how difficult it is, and I'll just explain very briefly for those of you who don't know, this little boy had a challenge with a liver enzyme that was overactive and causing some wreaking havoc in his body. So they took him to the hospital here at Chalk. And they found out that he has leukemia as well. So they're trying to get the liver squared away so they can even treat the leukemia. That doesn't happen, so they got to go and treat the leukemia anyway with chemotherapy. And this family is really, you know, trusting in the Lord. And Bill keeps telling me, you know what? We're just thankful that we have our church family, that we have a God in heaven who loves us and who's mindful for us. So in every circumstance, we can always pray with thanksgiving. Another way to pray is pray with persistence. We should persevere in prayer and not quit or feel dejected because we have not received an immediate answer. When you do not receive an immediate answer, you know what the answer is? Wait. Sometimes we hear yes. Sometimes we hear no. We don't like that one very much. But sometimes the answer is wait. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that God makes all things beautiful in its time. Father knows best. And seventh, last on this section, rely on the Spirit of God in prayer. You know, sometimes there's just going to be times we don't know what to pray. We are so grown in our spirit, we just don't know what to say. Paul says this in Romans, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according with God's will. We have the Spirit's help in praying. At the time of our deepest depression or sorrow, those times we feel that we just cannot pray, we have the comfort of knowing that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. He's actually praying for us. What an amazing God we have. I don't know how many of you receive Pastor Greg's daily devotion. It comes in on my phone at about 1:04 in the morning, so I set my alarm for 1:05 every morning. I get up and read it. I'm just kidding, that part of it. You don't really think I'd do that. But it comes every morning, and it's great. And if you don't have that, you should get it. It's a great devotion. But in the devotion a couple of months ago, he was talking about the topic of the Lord's Prayer. And this is what he said, quote, "If you want God to say yes to your prayers, then you must pray according to the will of God." God can say yes to all of our prayers as we pray according to his will, written in his word. He continues to say, "Never be afraid to ask God to overrule your prayers if they happen to be outside of his will. Sometimes God may answer our prayers differently than we thought he would. But the objective in prayer is not to get God to do what we want to do. The objective of prayer is saying, Lord, where are you going? We want to go too. What do you think about this? I want to think that too. What is your will on this? I want that to be my will too. We want to get our will in alignment with God's will." Good stuff. Pastor Greg's devotion. Make sure you download that. But some people come into the throne of God with a pessimistic attitude. They are like the child who goes to their father, who the father never gives them anything. And they say, "Dad, I know you're probably going to say no, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Can I?" Whatever the thing is, and that is no. Sometimes people come into that attitude with God. "God, I know you're going to say no, but, you know, if we're praying according to God's will, he's going to say yes." And the great thing about coming into God's throne room, the Bible says that we can come boldly. The writer of Hebrews says we can come boldly, confidently into the throne room of God. He wants to spend time with us, not with a pessimistic attitude, especially as we pray according to his will. Now, Jesus, of course, is our prime example of someone praying the will of God. Every couple of years, our church, we go on a tour of the Holy Land. We go on a tour where Jesus was, in Israel. And as we land in Tel Aviv, we get on board of a bus, and that bus then takes us to our hotel coming into Jerusalem. And as we come into Jerusalem, if you've been for the first time, you'll probably feel the same way. As we're coming into the city of Jerusalem, you're going up to Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem. And as we're going up to Jerusalem, the bus driver is playing, you know, very Jewish music, very Hebrew music, and it's very just kind of, it's very emotional. And as you're coming in a tunnel, you come out the tunnel and you look to your left, and there it is, the Temple Mount with the Dome of the Rock, that shining gold, you know, dome. By the way, that's a Muslim shrine. But that's the Dome of the Rock. That's where the Temple Mount was. That's where we believe that the next temple is going to be built. But it's just, it's emotional. It's like amazing to see this. This is Jerusalem. This is where Jesus was. It's amazing. But as you stay in Jerusalem for several days, one of the places that we normally tour is a place called the Church of Paternoster. The Church of Paternoster. It means the Church of Our Father. And in this church, in the outer grounds, all along the walls, are the Our Father prayer in 140 different languages. And if you have some background that's, you know, not, you know, English, you can see your ethnicity up there. I happen to be Portuguese. And so my wife and I go to the one that says Portuguese on it. I have no idea what it says, because I don't speak Portuguese, but it was great to see it. And it's 140 different languages of the Our Father. And they believe this is very near the section in the grotto where Jesus taught in Luke chapter 11 about how to pray. This is how you pray. And we know there's two different sections of the prayer of our Father. In Matthew 6, in the Mount of Beatitudes, with the Sermon on the Mount, and then here in Luke chapter 11. But not ironically, it's located near the Mount of Olives. It's a stone's throw to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. You can actually see the garden from the church. And as we come into what we call Passion Week coming up, we know that this Sunday is Palm Sunday. Then we get into Good Friday, and then Resurrection Easter Sunday. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed one of the most passionate prayers ever prayed. This is where we can go to Matthew 26. You're probably wondering, is he ever going to get to the scripture? Matthew 26, verse 33. I want to read this together with you because we can picture Jesus knowing his time. He's, for so long, he said, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. Now he's saying, my time has come. I'm going to go and die for the sins of humanity. And this is what we read. Jesus went with them, his disciples, to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face. Jesus fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Luke's gospel tells us that at this point is when Jesus' sweat became like great drops of blood. In verse 40, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping and their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, Jesus went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Jesus prayed the same prayer three times. Father, I know what's up ahead. If there's any other way, that would be good with me. Nevertheless, I know what the purpose is. I know what the goal is. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus willingly submitted himself to the Father. Father, if it be your will, nevertheless. Many years ago, it was between services at church on a Sunday morning. I was walking to the back of the church and an elderly lady got my attention. She says, excuse me. It's like, yes. So are you a pastor here? Yes, my name is Brad, but I'm not Brad Green. He's the good one. He's in Orange County. No, I didn't say that because I just went up to her and said, how can I serve you? And she's like, well, I have a prayer request. It's like, sure. And she was going through some type of a physical infirmity. I'm not even sure what it was. And so I said, I'd love to pray for you. So I pray for her and Father, just be with our sister here. I pray that you would touch her and heal her, whatever way you deem necessary, whether it's a miraculous touch from above or whether it's through a surgical procedure or whether it's through medicine or even if it's fact like Paul, that we pray that her, your grace would be sufficient for her. But nevertheless, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. And I finished it. She says, young man, her eyesight wasn't very good either. Young man, she said, you undid your prayer. It's like, what do you mean? Yeah, you undid your prayer. When you said, not my will, but thy will be done, you didn't pray in faith. And so you undid your prayer. It's like, well, that's how Jesus prayed. I mean, that's a pretty good model, isn't it? You know, I was taken back by that. But she was like, more like, you just name it and claim it. You just name it and claim it. You didn't have enough faith. And it's like, I walked away, it's like, oh, wow, okay. It's like, I don't know what to tell you. I just prayed like Jesus prayed, and that's how I'm going to continue to pray. But people have a misunderstanding of it. But one of the great passages on the will of God is Romans 12, 1 and 2. You can turn there if you'd like, but this was well identified in our lesson this week. This is where Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable act of worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might know what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. As Bible students, we probably understand that chapters and verses were not put in the original manuscripts. Those were added later on. In fact, it was in the 13th century when they finally began putting chapters and verses to assist us to find specific passages instead of having to find, you know, some scripture and where is that? I don't have to flip through all the scroll here to find it. You know, it was chapters and verses to help us and assist us. But I think it's important that we look back on chapter 11, verse 33, to get the full effect of what Paul was saying. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable or impossible to understand are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given him a gift to help him that he might be repaid? For him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Therefore, because of this reason, then Paul goes on and says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Before Paul says, submit yourself to God as living sacrifices, he instructs us to worship and praise God. If you want to do the will of God, here's some advice that I learned from Warren Wiersbe. Not personally, but through his commentaries. First thing is, don't try to explain God's ways. And verse 33 says, the depth, the riches, the wisdom, they're unsearchable. What I mean by that, there's sometimes we just don't know why things happen to people. When someone loses a loved one, we go and visit them, we don't know why. Well, because God just, you know, wanted to have another flower in heaven. No, they're not a flower. God needed another angel. No, they're not angels either. They're children of God. I don't know why. So what we do is what Pastor Greg has said before. We exchange what we don't know, why did God do this, for what we do know, that God is merciful, that God is compassionate, that God is loving, that he's long-suffering, that he's just. We exchange what we don't know for what we do know. Another thing is, don't try and change God's mind. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? But God, you don't understand this. Oh, yes, he does. He understands everything. Another thing, don't try to bargain with God. Verse 35, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Okay, God, here's the deal. You do this for me, and I will do this for you. Don't try and steal God's glory. To God be the glory forever. But when we pray, thy will be done, we're praying first to discover what God's will is. To discover what God's will is. Psalm 119, 18 says, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law. Before we can do God's will, we need to know what God's will is. To pray, thy will be done, is a commitment to know what is God's revealed will is. And the way we learn this is through reading his word. That's why V2 is so important, because we get into the word of God to know the will of God. We also pray to understand what God's will is. There seems to be some confusion over deciding what God's will is. When dealing with some very practical issues, we might ask ourselves, is what I'm concerned with in agreement with what is expressed in his word? If so, perfect. If not, then change it. Have I faced a similar situation before? If so, did God reveal to you at that time? If you made a mistake, don't repeat it. If the decision is difficult, seek godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says that there's multitude of counselors in safety. Fourth, make a decision of a matter and bring it to quiet in prayer. Can I say this about God's will? Because sometimes people have a misnomer about it. We're getting close to the end here, so thank you for your patience. But when we think about God's will, we pray about something. We believe this is God's will. We move forward on it, and it doesn't quite pan out the way we thought it was going to. In fact, it was very difficult. Then we think to ourselves, wow, that must not have been the will of God. Not necessarily. It just happened to be that God's will was for you to go through a difficult time. And that's okay, because that's how God grows us. That's why James said we can count on all joy when we enter various trials and testing. It's God's way of growing us. Don't ignore common sense that God gives us. Take your time. Don't make hasty and impatient decisions. God is never in a rush for things. Also, anticipate the passage of time will either open a door or to close a door. Next thing we pray for is to submit to God's will. It's not just good enough to know God's will. We need to submit to God's will. Thy will be done is really a prayer of submission. Lastly, to pray to accomplish God's will. It was Alan Redpath who said, both the outward look and the inward look reveal that the will of God is not being done. Because it is not being done in the Christian, there's no blessing in the church. And because there's no blessing in the church, the world is unreached, untouched, lost for time and eternity. Paul's prayer for the Colossian believers was this, that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and fruitful in every good work. The will of God comes from the heart of God. We all know that God's heart is perfect in all its ways. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you a future and a hope. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'd like to conclude tonight's sermon with this declaration concerning the will of God. Please listen closely because it's going to bring you encouragement. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you, where the arms of God cannot support you, where the riches of God cannot supply your needs, where the power of God cannot endow you. The will of God will never take you where the Spirit of God cannot work through you, where the wisdom of God cannot teach you, where the army of God cannot protect you, where the hands of God cannot mold you. The will of God will never take you where the love of God cannot enfold you, where the mercies of God cannot calm you, where the peace of God cannot calm your fears, where the authority of God cannot overrule you. The will of God will never take you where the comfort of God cannot dry your tears, where the word of God cannot feed you, where the miracles of God cannot be done for you, where the omnipresence of God cannot find you. Everything happens for a purpose. We may not see the wisdom of it all, but now trust and believe in the Lord that everything is for the best. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. And our desire as your people is to know your will. And we understand your will through your word. So, Father, continue, we pray, to teach us your word. We're never going to stop learning until you take us home to heaven. And so thank you that we can spend this time together. Bless these good folks in their group time that'll be profitable and productive for them, that they can continue to glean from your word through the lessons. And Father, our desire is just to bring you glory. So we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to teach here tonight.